I invite you to join me in the spirit of prayer. Spirit of life-giving love and love-giving life. God of creation who calls us back home, but before she does, holds us in life. May we be buoyed by the spirit of birth and nurturance, becoming a mother is so much different than being one. May we be filled with the fortitude and the endurance, the long view that is required of motherhood, so that each of us might be the person we would want our mothers to be proud of, recognizing that pure love is something that's unconditional. May we forgive ourselves for when we fall short, and may we ever hold high the possibilities of transformation, both in our own hearts and as we are agents in a world so much in need of transformation. Let us hold this moment together in quiet. Amen.
And now our readings, ancient and modern. Our ancient reading is from chapter 52, the mother of all things of the Tao Te Ching, traditionally ascribed to the great Chinese mystic Lao Tzu, who likely lived in the 6th century BCE. The universe had a beginning called the mother of all things. Once you have found the mother, you can know her children. Having known the children, hold tightly to the mother. Your whole life will be preserved from peril. Use the light. Come home to your true nature. Don't cause yourself injury. This is known as seizing truth. Our modern reading is an excerpt from the poem The Network of the Imaginary Mother by Robin Morgan. It is part of Cries of the Spirit, a celebration of women's spirituality edited by Marilyn Sewell. And this is the fragrance almost forgotten that warms the deepest dreams of us all, even the large male children who grow to fear or conquer or imitate its power. Even the large female children who find ourselves rocking each other, or men, or babies. We, the living totems of that rhythmic breast that rocked us, and which we have become, yet long for still.
So the prospect of preaching from year to year on Mother's Day is perhaps more daunting than many of you might realize. It's never my goal in preaching to come up with interesting sermons. It is always my goal to come up with something that might make a difference in someone's life. Let's say, for example, your life. My goal is always to try to bring you something that might help you to think that you are able to deal better with life's challenges than you otherwise might have. My hope is that you always go away with a grain or maybe even a whole bushel full of thought that might help you to understand yourself in relationship to your world in a fuller way than before. If the topic of the day should prove to be interesting as well, that's fine, but it's not the object. Preaching on Mother's Day has a number of inherent challenges. I'm always aware that while many of us here might have fond and appreciative memories or even current relationships with our mothers, many of us do not. Some of us had very difficult relationships with our moms, some even abusive. And it occurs to me that I need to say as well, and some very wonderful mothers have had very difficult relationships with their children. And these differences give rise to the need for very different approaches to such a holiday as this. Mother's Day sermons have to take those differences into account. And for those of you in the former category, I wish you a happy Mother's Day. For those of you in the latter group, I wish you at least a sustainable Mother's Day. Whichever category you might be a part of, I always think that there is something of value to be gleaned when considering motherhood, be it the real or perhaps the ideal sense. And I think there's always something of value in considering our response to our figurative or literal mothers. So, some 19 Mother's Days into this with you, I think I have considered the maternal archetype in just about every conceivable configuration, with every imaginable notion, from every plausible angle that I can envision. So for this year's challenge, I thought, I'll go back to my childhood. I'll find something in my childhood, that some motherly blessing, some motherly advice that might speak to me now and that I can relate to you. So I considered my own mother. I know that I've spoken about her many times over the years and not limited to the second Sunday of May. What might there be left to say about my mother? I'm sure there's tons of material there left to be processed, but I was looking for a little motherly advice that I could pass along. My mother did teach me a lot about religion. She didn't merely teach me through the example of her devout Catholicism, which was both profound and wonderfully inspirational, but she also taught me about the earnest and the pragmatic application of prayer. She would say things like, "You better pray that you have that mess cleaned up before your father gets home." And I learned from her the value of prayer as motivation. It seems that prayers in those situations really did help me to work harder and faster than I ever imagined I could. And then I thought there must be other examples, maybe religious examples, of motherly figures from my youth. Mater familias, who had shared good motherly advice. I thought about Mary, the mother of Jesus. When I was a young Catholic, Mary was a very big deal. It was really a development during the time of my own childhood that had Mary elevated from the status of to a status above sainthood, something beyond beatification and near deification. The entire month of May was dedicated to her devotion. "Hail, Holy Queen enthroned above," was the song that my classmates and I sang on that Sunday afternoon when we processed in from the back of the church on Mary, Queen of the Month Day. How many of you sang Hail, Holy Queen enthroned above? Do you remember the "Hail, Holy Queen enthroned above, Alleluia"? Try as I might, though, I could not come up with any advice that Mary had ever given. She was just there with an unconditional love for her son. She was certainly a great example of endurance and suffering. And within that example, I experienced, and I still do experience, the meaningful sense of support from that energy, which is also born of her archetype. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me speaking words of wisdom. "Let it be, let it be." Since we don't really know, though, any of the words of wisdom that she actually spoke, we get to imagine what they might have been. It's through our imagination that what she might say out of her long suffering and unconditional support, that her assistance to us becomes so wonderfully versatile. But again, there's no motherly advice on record. She didn't really tell anybody to do anything. And so again, I have nothing to pass on to you from Mary. And then it occurred to me, there was indeed a motherly figure that I encountered in my youth. She was loaded with all kinds of advice. She was looked up to and loved by millions of people across the country, perhaps even around the world. She was also feared by a good many people who had good reason to fear her. She considered herself to be a mother of the people. The world knew her as, now's the time, Moms Mabley. Moms Mabley was an amazing figure. She was a trailblazing African-American comedian who was known for her warm and sometimes raunchy stand-up routines and record albums. She was known to African-American audiences for decades before claiming her place in the national limelight through the Smothers Brothers show. She was the first in the business, the very first in the business, preceding Phyllis Diller and Joan Rivers by decades, preceding Whoopi Goldberg by generations. She provided a bottomless font of motherly and sometimes not so motherly advice. I wish to present her to you here this morning on this day that commemorates all mothers, and I'll begin by telling you a little bit about her history, then by sharing with you some of that precious advice she was so willing to provide. I got something to tell you, is how she would always start those pieces. And then we'll finish by watching a short clip of Moms Mabley herself. Actually, we'll be watching the same picture, but we'll be listening to a short clip. So the woman who would become known as famed comedian Moms Mabley was born Loretta Mary Aiken in Brevard, North Carolina on March 19, 1894. Some say it was 1897, but she was born to a large family of 16 children. She had a horrendous, traumatic childhood. Her father was involved in several businesses, but he was also a volunteer fireman, and on the way to a fire one day, the fire truck that he was riding on exploded, and he was killed in that accident. Just a few years later, her mother was hit and killed by a truck as she was walking home from Christmas services on Christmas Day. And even more horrendous than those, by the age of 14, she had been raped twice and became pregnant and gave birth from both of those incidents and gave those children up for adoption. Loretta Mary Aiken left home that same year at the age of 14 and pursued a show business career, joining the African-American vaudeville circuit, which was known as the Chitlin' Circuit. Fellow performer Jack Mabley became her boyfriend for some time, and she decided she would just go ahead and take his name, becoming Jackie Mabley. And the name Moms came from her eventual reputation as a mentoring mother spirit to those who traveled on the circuit with her and eventually to the world. By the early 1920s, she began to work with the duo Butterbeans and Susie. She became a regular attraction at the Cotton Club, and she was the very first female comedian to ever appear at Harlem's legendary Apollo Theater. She became a regular at the Apollo, appearing there more often than any other performer in history. It is said that the character she developed as Moms was a tribute to her grandmother, who had been a slave. Her stand-up routines, some of you may remember, how many of you remember Moms Mabley? A good number of you. Her stand-up routines were hilarious performances that were augmented by the aesthetic style she presented as being an older, house-dress, bonnet-clad, toothless figure. In her early years, she provided sly commentary on racial bigotry to her African-American audiences. In her later years, while playing to mixed audiences, her commentary was no less biting, just a bit more subtle. Her jokes also pointed towards a lusty zest for younger men, yet belying that persona, offstage, she had a glamorous chick look and wasn't all that interested in men, young or old. She was one of the first openly gay comedians anywhere, although it was an openness seen only by her friends and her colleagues. Beyond her role as frontrunner as a stand-up comic, Jackie Moms Mabley starred in the world of film and stage as well, working with writer Zora Neale Hurston on the 1931 Broadway show Fast and Furious, a colored review in 37 scenes. She took on a featured role in Paul Robeson's Emperor Jones. She starred in the movies The Big Timers and Boarding House Blues and the musical review Killer Diller, which featured Nat King Cole and Butterfly McQueen. Mabley had a starring role in the 1974, think of how old she is at this point. She had a starring role in 1974, Amazing Grace, which she was able to complete despite having a heart attack during its filming. She died on May 23, 1975 in White Plains, New York. She's been immortalized on stage and screen since her death, first by actress Clarice Taylor, whom some of you might remember. What might you remember Clarice Taylor from? She was Bill Cosby's mother-in-law on The Cosby Show. And more recently, by Whoopi Goldberg, who made her directorial debut with the documentary Moms Mabley. I Got Something to Tell You. I Got Something to Tell You was the trademark line of Moms throughout her career. I Got Something to Tell You is the sort of thing you might expect to hear as a caring mother prepares to hold forth for her child or perhaps to her children. And so from Moms, Mably, to you on this Mother's Day, a little motherly advice. I got something to tell you. Love is like playing checkers. You have to know which man to move. I got something to tell you. Life is like a poker game. If you don't put anything in the pot, there won't be any to take out. I got something to tell you. A woman's a woman until the day she dies, but a man's only a man as long as he can. I suspect that one was on several levels. I got something to tell you. One day my grandmother was sitting out on the porch and I said, "Granny, how old does a woman have to be before she don't want no more boyfriends?" She was around 106 then. She said, "I don't know, honey. You'll have to ask somebody older than me. I got something to tell you. I told my husband, "Honey, you're sick. Why don't you take out some insurance?" He said, "I ain't gonna take a damn bit. When I die, I want it to be a sad day for everybody." I thought he would never die. I shouldn't talk like that about him, though. They say you shouldn't say nothing about the dead unless you can say something good. He's dead. Good. I got something to tell you. This is from a clip from a Merv Griffin show. So if you can picture her sitting across the desk from Merv Griffith in 1969. 1969, remember what's going on in the country. Moms Mably is dressed in a painfully psychedelic house coat. She told a story about the special name that she was called when she was in the South. "What's that man got that horse in the pictures, that Western man?" Mably asked Griffin. "Roy Rogers," he asked. "Yeah, they named me for Roy Rogers' horse." "Trigger?" Griffin suggests. "Yeah, everywhere I go. Hello, Trigger. What you saying, Trigger?" At least that's what I think they're saying. Merv Griffin blanched when he realized that he was set up as the straight man. I got something to tell you. My granny was a slave. She did all her cooking in her fireplace. She told me, "Child, you look into that fireplace and see the future in those flames, because you're going to see the world like your grandy never did." I got something to tell you. This is from Mom's Fairy Tales. You tell them that Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her dog a bone? I say Mother Hubbard had gin in that cupboard. Jack and Jill went up the hill after some water? I tell them, water don't run uphill. You tell them that Mary had a little lamb? I tell them, wasn't that doctor surprised? I got something to tell you. Colored fella down home died. He pulled up to the gate. St. Peter looked at him and said, "What do you want?" "Hey, man, you know me. I'm old Sam Jones." He looked in his book. "Sam Jones?" He said, "No, no, you ain't here. No Sam Jones." He said, "Oh, man, yes, I am. You know me. I'm the cat that married that white girl on the Capitol steps in Jackson, Mississippi." He said, "How long ago that happened?" "About 5 minutes ago." I got something to tell you. Black women, white women, all of them, I'm colorblind. I don't know the difference. I only know you're a human being and you're my children. I got something to tell you. If you don't want your children to know the truth about life, don't send them to the theater to see Moms, because I'm going to tell them the truth. You hear? So while Mom's wisdom might be capable of transcending my delivery of it, let's listen to her more directly for a moment. And here's a little codicil to that. Moms Mably does not speak in a New Jersey accent. And so you're not going to be able, I don't think, to understand some of what's being said. You'll be able to understand enough, and you will certainly glean the memory of it. The quality of the recording, though Marcus has helped the recording considerably, the quality of the recording is not that great either. So I just want you to be able to experience her again if you have in the past, and for the first time if you had not. Who's clicking?
I like to teach children, but I didn't have an opportunity to meet.
I hope you were able to hear some of that, discern it. On another occasion, she said something similar to what she was saying about kids there when she said, "The teenagers ain't all bad. I love them if nobody else does. There ain't nothing wrong with young people. Just quit lying to them." Moms Mabley was able to deal with life's challenges and to rise above them. So can you. Moms Mabley left more than a grain or even a bushel full of wisdom behind for dealing with day-to-day struggles, for dealing with racism, for dealing with any other of life's major challenges. That's a Mother's Day gift you can just accept. Moms Mabley understood her place in the world. She understood the place that society tried to impose upon her, and she understood who she was and who she was becoming. So can you. Moms Mabley did all of this with a down-home sense of humor and a disarming graciousness. So can you. A final message from Moms Mabley to all of us on this Mother's Day, then. I got something to tell you. Use those brains that God put in your head. May it be so. Our closing words, again by Barbara DeAngelis. Love and kindness are never wasted. They always make a difference. They bless the one who receives them, and they bless you, the giver.